Hi, this is Steve again, and I want to welcome everyone back, all of you in my inner circle that I call the Wealth Warrior Movement. Thanks very much for listening. Today, I want to talk about a distinction between two things, two choices, and it's called your social self versus your professional self. Your social self versus your professional self. In all my years of coaching people, and I think it's been a couple decades now that I've been doing that, I think this may be the most important distinction of all. Now, you know, I use a lot of distinctions, including the one that I'm best known for, which is the owner-victim distinction. That's the most popular one. That's in the book, Reinventing Yourself. But I think this one, for people who have gotten that distinction, how not to be a victim, I think this one is the next most important. This is the one that really frees people up and changes them, especially in the area of wealth and creating prosperity. The social self versus the professional self. So first I want to speak about distinctions in general, why they're so powerful, why I use them when I do seminars to train people or do one-on-one coaching. I like to use distinctions. And for me, distinctions are things that are contrasts. Now, there are other people, Werner Erhard, people in the Landmark group, other people who use the word distinction a little differently. I use it in all my work to mean contrast. I like a clear contrast, a clear choice, because when you have a clear choice and a clear contrast, you can use it as a tool, like a light switch. So for me, a distinction for someone, when you deliver a distinction and they get it, like they get a joke, in other words, they see it, I get it, it's like a light switch. You can throw the switch. On or off, life or death, up or down, light or dark. You flip the switch and it's light in the room. You flip the switch and it's dark. The distinction is between light and dark. Same with owner-victim. You flip a switch inside you. In other words, I can be a victim of a situation. I can be a victim of another person's behavior all day long. Most people are. Or I can throw the switch inside me, take a deep breath, come from a different place that I call owner. And all that means is I'm taking ownership of my response to this situation. And that's a completely different place to come from, and it gets you better results, but only always. So this distinction is the same way. This is why I like to work with distinctions as opposed to information. When you give people information, like, here are 7 habits I want you to memorize and repeat back to me and always try to remember what these 7 habits are, well, that's fine, but it's information I have to try to remember. Whereas when I give you a distinction, you don't have to try to remember it. You get it, like a joke. You've got it. It's clear. Once you know that when you flip the switch, it's light in the room, and when you flip the switch again, it's dark in the room, that's not something you have to write down or try to remember or post on the refrigerator and memorize. You get it. You know how to use it. You get it forever. That's why I love distinctions. They're tools you can use forever once you see it, once you get it. So when I work with groups or individuals, I do not deliver information. People have too much information. It would be like running a weight loss program and I'm delivering fat. I'll make you fatter if you come to my weight loss program. People wouldn't come. That's not what they need. The same is true, I believe, when people are seminar leaders, trainers, or coaches. They don't need information. They don't need expert advice and wisdom and all kinds of philosophical theorizing and pontificating from people who pretend to know more than they do. That's not effective. I've never seen people coaching people effectively from that position, like, I'm wise, I'm superior. And most people who try to get clients coming from that position fail. You want to give someone a tool that they can use immediately and go out into their life, so life is different starting now. And that's what a distinction does. So now if we're going to deliver a distinction called the social self versus the professional self, let's first look at the origin of the social self. Where does it come from? How did you get a social self? Well, when you were born, you were trained to interact with society. From the moment you could speak, you were trained to be acceptable, to be accepted into society by the way you communicated and by your behavior. What's acceptable? And your parents or your guardians or whoever was in charge of you, they worked with you all day long to teach you to be likable and to be approved of and to be acceptable to others so that you could interact with society, that you wouldn't be ostracized or you wouldn't be rejected. And that was a very good and noble thing. I mean, that was job one for these parents. And there's no arguing it. There's no real attempt to undo it here. That's just what happens in all societies. No matter what society you're born into, that's what you get trained in when you're younger. You learn how to be good. So you come home from the grocery store, and your mom says, oh, you were good today. You were really good. What a good boy. And so what she really means is you didn't embarrass her, and you stayed within the guidelines, and you behaved in such a way that she didn't need to punish you. And so you learn all these things, how to be nice, how to be likable, how to be easy to get along with. You're trained even more thoroughly than the Navy SEALs are trained. So a lot of people scratch their heads like, why do I do this? Why do I do this? Like when I coach people and they lapse into their social self and they have no real professional self that they can go to, and they have all these bad negotiations or bad business dealings that don't result in prosperity, and they say, why do I do this? I don't know. What's wrong with me? Why? Well, there's nothing wrong with you. That's the self that operates, your social self, and it comes from all those years of very thorough training. So it's not a big mystery. But here's what we need to look at. Does it serve you in a professional setting? Because my answer is no, it does not. As a matter of fact, it causes great harm. It makes it really hard to advance and succeed in a professional situation for you to just habitually revert to the default position, which is your social self. That's not very useful for you after a while. But you can't change it unless you see it. Nathaniel Brandon used to say, you can't leave a place you've never been. That's why it's so important in a coaching session, for example, to have a client really see where he or she is coming from. Not to feel shame or embarrassment, but because you can't leave a place you've never been. Unless you really see it, there's no way to leave it behind. It just operates you. Because you're not choosing it in many ways. It's been programmed into you. So that's your social self. The overriding, habitual, automatic desire to be liked at every juncture. Why isn't that not a good thing, though? Why isn't that wonderful? Well, we're going to look at that in the next track. Now let's look at your professional self. Your professional self, whatever career you have, whatever service you provide to the world, whatever you do for a living, that's your professional self. And you are the author of that. That didn't get trained into you when you were young. That doesn't come along by itself. You create that based on your own choices of principles and policies for yourself and the way you operate and who you want to be. That's where that comes from. And so that is authored. Now, a lot of people say, well, if I have to make up and create some professional self, that's not very authentic. I want to be authentic. So when I'm authentic, I'm vulnerable. And I put my heart out there, and I laugh, and I cry, and I weep, and I shake, and I tremble. But I'm just really being authentic that way. Well, no, you're not. Because you're just being automatic that way. You're just being default, pre-programmed, social self. Here's what's really authentic. When you are the author of who you're being, that's authentic. In fact, the word authentic and the word author come from the same root. The A-U-T-H comes from the same basic root. So, you are creating who you are, and that's more authentic than having a bunch of past hurts and beliefs and memories and wounds and fears drive who you are from your subconscious in a habituated way. That's not as authentic, really, although you claim it is. So let me give you an example of this. Someone who just automatically does their work or their business from the social self. That's the easiest way because you don't have to do anything. You don't have to create a self that you want to be. You just simply show up and let your emotions do the rest. Or let your habituated automatic programming do the rest for you. So in a way, you're not living, you're being lived. And let me give you an example of that. Years and years ago, I worked for a company. And it was a small business. And we had a leader, president of the company, who would call a weekly meeting. And in this weekly meeting, we would all gather at 8:30 on a Monday morning, and there was a guy, I'm going to call him Justin. There was a guy named Justin. I'm just making up that name. That's not his real name. If your name is Justin, it's not you. There was a guy named Justin who would come in late to these meetings. So we'd all be sitting around the table. The meeting would start at 8:30, and people would be sharing ideas and putting things on the whiteboard, and we'd be reviewing the past week and talking about the week to come, and people would be taking notes, and it was a good meeting. And then about 15 minutes into it, this guy named Justin would come in late. The door would kind of clang and clutter and clatter and slam, and he'd come in and sit down. He'd kind of shrug and look around like, hey, sorry. And he'd sit down and take his backpack off really elaborately and pull out a notebook and look around like, hey, has anything been going on or have I missed anything? And it was really psychologically really disruptive. I mean, it was like the ultimate buzzkill. Any momentum the meeting had going on, any good vibe it had, was now just completely stopped. And everybody kind of heaved a sigh and moved around in their chair and set their pen down, and we just waited for Justin to settle in. Now, the leader of the meeting would look at Justin and say, hi, Justin. And he'd have this really big grin. Hi, Justin. Hi. And Justin would kind of smile and, sorry, I'm late. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. And then the meeting would continue. We were all sitting there wondering, when is somebody someday going to tell Justin to knock it off and please be at the meeting on time, because we're here on time. And it wasn't that easy for us to get here on time, but we made it work. Why can't he? But it really wasn't about Justin so much as it was about the leader of the meeting. We were really thinking, really? Is it really that okay with you? I mean, not only are you not pulling Justin aside to have him never do that again, You're grinning and beaming and saying, "Hi, Justin," and you're smiling at him, and it's sickening. In other words, we had no respect for the leader because the leader was living from his social self. The leader was Mr. Nice Guy. So his social self wanted to be liked by everybody, including Justin. I want to be liked by Justin. He wanted to be liked by everybody. He wanted to be everybody's big bud. Hold no one accountable for anything. Tell no difficult truth to anyone. But hey, bud. Hi, bud. I'm your big bud. And he was everybody's big buddy. But no one respected him as a leader. There was no respect. People in the hallways would grumble like, when is somebody going to lead this thing? Well, that's a very severe example of a social self automatically operating and no professional self in play. This guy had not created any kind of professional self for himself. He had no ideals as a leader, how to operate, what to do when someone's late to a meeting, how to deal with it. He had nothing like that. He had created nothing when it comes to his professional self. And because the default setting, which it is with almost everybody, is on likability and approval, which is what the social self is created from, that kind of training, because that was his default setting, people did like him in a way. He was a very agreeable person. People would think, yeah, you know, if we're going to have a softball game or I'm going to be on an airplane flight, it'd be fun sitting next to him. But there was no respect. There was no respect professionally for this person. Now, fortunately, this person was a really good person and a very coachable person and saw the possibility of creating a professional self along the way. Got some amazing coaching down the road and turned things around rather brilliantly. But that's many years later. The problem here is when I lapse into pleasing and trying to win everybody over, it's quite often inappropriate and almost always ineffective as a professional self. Professional self needs to be clearly defined, needs to be strong and principled and very, very effective and created from who I want to be instead of automatically operating out of how I've been programmed. I want to give you another real life example of how the social self gets in the way of people's success, people's prosperity, and creating wealth. See, the social self has a really good place in life. I use it in social situations. My brother calls and I leave a message back and say, "Hey, call me anytime. If I'm not available, I'll call you right back. Call me next week. Come by this weekend. Drop by. Call first. Anytime. Everything's loose. Everything's open." I'm being accommodating to my brother. I'm being nice, I'm being pleasing, and that's how I operate with my family and friends, and that's how everyone else does. But in a professional setting, this often produces tremendous chaos and lack of respect. So let me give you an example. A lot of my clients for many years were coaches and consultants, independent practitioners, and they would hire me to help them produce wealth and get clients. And during the course of our work together, they would often send me their emails that they were sending to a prospect, the email exchange back and forth. And I would read this coach's email that he was about to send to a prospective client, and there was no professionalism in it. There was no clarity. There was no self-esteem or boldness or strength, or principle-based, purpose-based language. It was all sweet and accommodating and sloppy and nice. Call me anytime. I'd really, really love to meet with you. It would be such fun to get together. Call me anytime you want. All kinds of really sweet social stuff that you'd see on Facebook or somewhere. And after a while, the prospective client would start to get a sense of, do I really want to be coached by this person? There's no leadership. There's no sense of strength. There's no direction in any of the communications I'm getting. There's a real cloying, kind of sickening attempt to be liked or to ingratiate himself. So this is what gives used car sales a bad name and all kinds of sales a bad name, is this social self, phony, sloppy attempt to be liked first before we ever talk business. And when I look at these emails, and then the other person says, well, you know, I'm kind of busy, maybe I'll get to you next week. Oh, that's fine, I know you're busy, maybe next week, maybe the week after. And there's no clarity, there's no precision, there's no direction. And you're supposed to be a coach or a consultant who someday is going to help this person get back on track. And yet, in all your communications, you're just all over the place, and there's no sense of direction. And so this is a real problem for people. Also, a lot of people go into negotiation, and they sit down to negotiate with a vendor or with some other business partner, and because they have no professional self that they have authored and created, what they do is just simply lapse into the social self. And that's where you get the phrase win-win. I want a win-win. I want everybody to win. In fact, I don't just want a win-win. I want a win-win-win-win-win. I want everyone around the table to win. How about we all win? How about I start conceding things? How about I start giving away things I don't have to? We'll all win here. I'll cut my price. I'll do this. I'll do that. What are you going to give away? And the negotiation is a disaster. And what happens here is there's no real clarity. There's no real strength. There's no samurai sense of dying before you go into battle. There's just this wild attempt to be liked, which harms the business. This is so disastrous when people constantly are using their social selves all day long, when the appropriate position would be to come from a very principled professional self. And then they come back and wonder, oh my gosh, why am I so overwhelmed? Why have I promised so many things to so many people and I'm behind on all of them? And I can never get them done. I think I'm going to call in sick tomorrow. And this is how people mess up their lives. In the business world, there's no real solid purpose-based, principle-based behavior from the person coming from a professional self. It's all being nice, being liked, trying to please everybody, and never really creating solid agreements, never really holding people accountable. When something is promised or something is decided, we're going to do this, the person doesn't really put a date on it. They don't put a time on it, like, can I get this from you by Friday? And the reason they don't say, can I get it from you by Friday? Well, maybe that's a little pushy. I don't want to make the person uncomfortable. I'll just say, well, you know, get it to me whenever you can. I know you're busy. Get it to me whenever you can. I know you're busy. And so the other person then thinks, ah, okay. Well, this must not be really high priority because he just said, get it to me. And now the person doesn't get it to me for a couple of weeks, and I'm angry. I can't believe I haven't gotten that report from him. I can't believe he hasn't sent my invoice back with a payment. What's the deal with him? Well, what was your agreement? Well, I don't want to have to make an agreement with everybody. Well, then live with it. Well, as with each of these audio programs for Wealth Warrior, there's good news here. Really good news, because you are the author of your life. That's true authenticity. when you not only play a part, but you write the part that you play. Shakespeare said the world's a stage, and you must play a part. Yes, true. And you get to write that part if you can see it. You get to create the professional self that you want operating in the world. And it's fun to create. It's very fulfilling to create. It's very satisfying to create. And as you start to put these principles in play of how I'm going to operate, I'm going to create agreements with people instead of having expectations of people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to live on purpose. I'm going to choose high priority. I'm going to answer email this way. I'm going to do things that I would admire in another person in this professional setting. And this is authored. Therefore, this is authentic. And this is something anyone can do. A lot of times with my clients, once they start to see that they can create who they are out there in the world, I like to have them take long walks. So once they've created this, they really let it sink in so they can operate from it during the professional day instead of trying to get to it. That's real ownership when you're coming from a place inside you instead of trying to get to something or trying to reach a certain distant place out in the future. I want to have it be in me as a principle, as a purpose, as a place to come from. I want to have that really be in me so that the next phone call that comes in, the next email that comes in, I have a way already of dealing with things. Instead of having my whole life be contingent or just circumstantial, dealing with things always only based on the circumstance. I had a client once who was overwhelmed by email all day, and ding, 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 he had some kind of ding that went off whenever an email came in. So anything he was focused on was interrupted. And we worked for a while, and I said, you know, it's really true. Studies have shown that 1 hour of interrupted time is worth 3 hours of interrupted time as far as efficiency, effectiveness, and productivity. And he really conceded that, and he said, yeah, that's my experience. So why do you let this thing go off and go ding, ding every time an email comes in? Well, I never know what the email is. It might be important. Well, are you an ambulance dispatcher? Is this a 911 situation? And he said, no. How many of them are really urgent and vital that you need to jump on? Well, almost none of them. Yet you let your life be interrupted. Why don't you create a professional self that doesn't allow that to happen? And so what he did, he was in a large company, and he had a big position. People were emailing him all the time. He let the whole company know that I don't check emails until 4 o'clock, and then I check them all. So if you expect an immediate answer, it won't come until after 4 o'clock. If there's an emergency that I need to deal with, you better come see me, because email won't handle it for you. I also turn my phone off when I'm in a meeting. So if I'm in a meeting and you're trying to reach me by phone and it's important, you better slip a paper under the door or knock and come into the meeting, because I am not even going to look at my phone. And he set up ways of being as a professional self that transformed his life and made him extremely effective going forward. And he got to create that. That wasn't in some textbook like, here's how everyone ought to do this. That was his creation based on his life, based on who did he want to be as a professional. Well, create that. You have to create it, by the way. It isn't just handed to you. Create it. It's yours. And that's the good news. That's the most fun. Because once you've created it, it's fun to execute, and your professional self-esteem goes way up, which gives you more confidence and more ability to deal with people, and you have a happier day. People respect you now. They look up to you. Instead of, hey, bud, Mr. Nice Guy that everybody sort of likes, kind of, but no one respects. You don't want that. Creativity, that's the key.